Sydney, a city of coffee, beer, wine, and fear. Mainly the fear that drinking so much coffee, wine, and beer was a bad idea. It's to cities what hangovers are to drinking. But we love it. So sit back and take the ultimate cure. 1 hour of pure, uncut radio chaser.
Yes, welcome to our show on this wet Wednesday. Sydney, Andrew Hansen is in the house bopping along. Charles Firth is looking slightly grumpy. My name is Dom Knight. Great to have you here on our show today. Charles explores whether tomato sauce really is deadly. That was a surprise in the news today.
The big issues, Dom. You know, you come to Radio Chaser for the big issues.
And you've heard of Rocktober. You've heard of Oztober. You won't believe what Triple M's got next. That's coming up. But first, Dubbo, where it literally rained on the Royal Parade. People still seem very happy to have Harry and Meghan there. One of them even baked. And once again, to get the inside word on the Royal Tour, we have our official palace spokesman, none other than Crispin Tallow, Witherington Poncy Pants, keeper of the fourth crow's testicle. Hello, Crispin.
Greetings to you peasants in the colony.
Now, Crispin, all the reports are saying that the people of Dubbo are over the moon about this royal visit.
Yes, well, we all know nothing melts the hearts of the common folk like watching people with staggering amounts of unearned wealth they themselves could never dream of swanning about in designer footwear. No wonder they're so popular.
Now, Crispin, could you tell us about some of the actual stuff we've seen today? First, those adorable photos of that five-year-old boy who started playing with Harry's beard.
Aww.
Yes, very sweet. Well, you know, our playboy prince does have a long history of people fondling his hairy parts. He's used to it.
He handled it very well indeed. And the news also says that Meghan actually baked banana bread last night. Did she use an American recipe maybe for that delicious baked treat?
Good Lord, no, no. Now she's a princess. She must use the time-honoured British recipe.
And what's that?
Same as most British recipes. Sheep lungs, jellied eels and bull scrotums deep-fried in a bucket of cat's blood. Makes wonderful banana bread.
Well, that does sound delicious. And there's an amazing story on news.com. They say Meghan's opened an umbrella.
No.
What's all that about?
Did she?
Yes, well, she did. She had to use it to swat away the Dubbo flies and then swat away the Dubbo commoners.
Oh, that explains it. Look, finally, Crispin, you are a palace insider. Have you spoken to the royal couple about Dubbo? What are their impressions? What do they think of Dub Vegas?
Well, you know, Harry admittedly was a little disappointed that Dubbo Zoo doesn't have any cages. He is a fan of concentration camps, as you know. Meghan was delighted because the locals took her on their version of a royal carriage ride, mooning on the back of a ute. But altogether, you know, the two of them couldn't be happier to be in Dubbo. It's about the furthest place on earth you can get from Meghan's embarrassing father.
Radio Chaser.
Now, Charles, a disturbing headline in the paper today.
Look, that's right. This is one of the top five trending stories in Australia right at the moment. So please, if you are eating, please put down what you're eating and just listen up. This is a nutrition alert. Stop eating tomato sauce right now. That's the headline, making headlines across Australia on news.com.
Can we even have a country if we can't have tomato sauce on our pies? Is it worth going on at all?
Well, they've done this shock expose, and they've found, this is honestly true, that tomato sauce contains sugar and salt in it.
That's why it's so good.
Don't they have enough royals to cover at news.com.au? Oh, my goodness.
But look, this is going to change the Australian way of life, so we've sent out none other than our very own shock jock-turned-investigative reporter, the only man Ray Hadley feels and fears in radio. Here he is, Firth, to check out the tomato sauce story.
Tomato sauce. You might think it's a harmless condiment you put on chips. Or like me, you might have it as a garnish down the front of your jacket. But next time you're about to squirt one out, think again.
Oh.
One squirt of tomato sauce will make you a fatty boomba, leaving you with no friends because they can't even fit in the same room as you.
Oh, we can't be friends anymore, Firth.
By my calculations, one drop of tomato sauce contains 500 kilograms of pure sugar. That's a lot. To find out how much it is, I talked to a professor who knows everything.
Firth, those figures aren't correct.
Shut up, Professor. Prepare to graduate from the University of My Fist.
Ow!
Not only that, but my secret undercover investigation, reading the label on the back of the bottle, revealed that manufacturers also add salt, vinegar and onion powder to every bottle of this red devil sauce. They claim it's to make it even tastier. Right, Mr. Chef?
Yes, well, it is to make it even tastier.
Well, prepare to taste my fillet-o-fist. Surely a simpler explanation is that it's a conspiracy between food manufacturers, tomato farmers and onion powder entrepreneurs to hook you on their product for life. Just like a candy man pushes heroin onto children as young as three.
Oh, smack. Hit me up, candy man.
So next time you think of having tomato sauce, think again.
Oh.
Unless you want the first train to death on the Afghani Express, choose the healthy option. Mayonnaise mixed with barbecue sauce, washed down with a cleansing Fanta. This is Firth with the Fact. Oh, my chest!
Oh. Radio Chaser. Triple M.
Now, look, a lot of people argue about climate change, don't they? And, you know, whether it's a real thing, do we need to worry about it? Well, if you're a climate change skeptic, here's something that, might get you worried about it and really want to take some action for once to stop climate change happening.
Oh, yeah. Is it rising sea levels or
are
something?
We all going to die?
Yeah.
Sort of, well, worse than that. It could increase the cost of beer.
No! What do we do?
Yeah.
What do we do?
No, this is terrible, terrible news that's come out from one of the food security scientists. It could even triple the cost of beer in Ireland because with these sort of heat shocks, it's going to make it more expensive to grow barley.
Hello, Scott Morrison. Turn off your coal-fired power stations now. This is serious.
My prediction is that this is going to be the thing that actually tips the balance and people start actually doing something about climate change.
Yeah, I think so. we're going to finally convince people.
Yeah.
Like, screw power prices. What are beer prices?
No, absolutely. Yeah. So, look, we thought, what better time to educate you on some facts about beer?
Fact that's amazing.
Did you know everyone on the first fleet drank beer instead of water because it was more likely to be pure? And that custom is still followed in Australia today.
Fact.
Queensland's famous Forex is so named because Queenslanders cannot spell the word beer.
Fact.
Humans have been drinking beer for 9,000 years, though there is evidence Bob Hawke has been drinking for longer than that.
Fact.
Beer is popular right around the world, except in America, where they instead drink Budweiser.
Fact.
Packs of beer come in four sizes. Six-pack, slab, pallet and boonie.
Fact.
In 1973, floods drenched northern Queensland and the lack of drinking water led to the invention of Forex Gold, which is also basically water.
Fact.
Varieties of beer include lager, stout, porter, and I'm too drunk to care, just give me more beer.
Fact.
Oktoberfest is a German beer festival held every year in March.
Fact.
And historians believe the consumption of beer may have helped humans become more creative, advancing the development of language, music, and most importantly, fart jokes.
Fact.
Charles, you have plans for a pet, and as your near neighbour, I have concerns about these plans.
Yeah, now, 133353, if you own a snake of any sort, can you give us a call? I've just got a few questions for you, because my 10-year-old is obsessed with reptiles. He wants to breed them, we've already got him a gecko. But one gecko is not enough for him.
What about two geckos? Maybe three geckos?
Well, this is the thing. We went out to Kellyville Pets on Saturday, right, to look at the geckos. And he turns around and there's a Python workshop on.
You got upsold.
We went to a Python-owning workshop, right? It costs money to learn how to own a Python. And now I think he's really lobbying hard for a python for Christmas.
A python? How big are they? Like, how long is a python?
Well, fully grown. I think he wants to get a carpet python. So it's about 2.8 metres when they grow up.
Most houses aren't that big.
Is that safe? I mean, look at someone who's got a six-month-old daughter who's going to be a toddler soon, and a tiny dog, both of whom could be equally crunched and squashed by a python. Is this something you do in a built-up area?
Well, the funny thing is the teacher actually did say, now, just make sure you put both latches on the lid because they do escape. They're sort of, they're escape artists, these things.
Of course they do. They're pythons.
And he said, and a fully grown one, you know, like usually they'll go for rabbits or rats or something like that. But if there is a small baby, they can eat that.
Right. You live in an apartment complex full of babies.
But it's not going to be fully grown immediately. Like, your baby will be well grown by the... It'll be a toddler by the time. It'll
probably
be
able to have moved in
run away. Near
you. Oh, my goodness. So what, you're going to get the python?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Let's go to some calls and sort of actually figure it out.
Yeah, 133-53, what does Charles need to know? And frankly, I'll give you a prize if you can talk him out of it.
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
Now, Charles Firth is thinking about getting a python, a snake that grows to 2.8 metres and can apparently quite easily escape from its terrarium. As one of his neighbours, I'm a bit concerned about this. 133-53, what does Charles need to know for signing up? Charles, you're looking like a man who's going to get us. I'm looking at your face. You're looking confident.
Yeah, I think it's all right. The one thing that actually concerns me is that apparently you've got to feed them once a week with dead rats. And you've got to keep these dead frozen rats in your freezer, so you've got the they're like rat lollipops.
I'm sure there's an upside I'm not perceiving here. Let's go to William in Windsor. Hey, William.
G'day, mate.
Tell us about owning snakes.
They're good. Yeah, you don't need to walk them every day. You don't need to feed them every day. You know, once every fortnight through winter, a lot of people, if you're going to breed them, you know, you can turn the heat mats off and not feed them through the whole winter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you know, they go to the toilet as often as you feed them. So, you know, I mean, you feed them once a fortnight. You only have to pick up once a fortnight, you know.
Wow.
And they don't, believe it or not, they don't need a lot of room. You know, I've got, in just a normal-sized bedroom, I have close on 20 snakes.
Oh, my God.
20. 20.
My biggest one, my biggest ones are pushing up around the 15, 16-foot mark. And, you can get a 10-foot snake carpet python that likes to climb, and yeah, they'll live in a tank that's only 3 foot wide by about 4 foot high. That's plenty, and, you know. And
do they escape?
Nah, all my snakes, they've all got locks. Yeah, you know? They've all got a lock and key to get into them, and unless you get access to the key, you can't get in there. They can't get out.
And do they bite you?
They get a bit cage defensive sometimes if they're going to shed their skin and stuff. So, you know, every now and then you might stick your hand in and have a nip, but in all honesty, day-to-day things hurt more than the snake bite, you know.
That's a great story, William. Charles, don't get a snake. Get 25 snakes. That's what you should do. That was fascinating.
In your bedroom. I mean, do they make a noise? Do they hiss all night?
Look, let's go to Dave, actually, in Glenmore Park. He's got some thoughts. Hey, Dave.
Instead of the crazy cat lady, there's a crazy snake lady.
He's a gentleman, and he's an honourable snake owner who I wouldn't piss off because he might know. We might tell him where you live.
Do you own a snake?
Oh, I've got a big 26-year-old trouser snake.
Oh, wow.
Trouser snake.
Yeah, well, I think we've heard what that is. Let's go to Mark in Riverston.
How often
hello.
Does he escape?
Dave was let out his trouser snake, evidently. Mark, yeah, hello.
How's it going?
Have you got an actual, legitimate, not dick metaphor snake?
Yeah, I've got an albino corn snake.
Oh, lovely. Ooh,
that sounds like a dick metaphor to me.
Wait a minute. corn snakes are illegal to own, aren't they?
Huh?
They're completely illegal in Australia. You can't own a corn snake. They're from overseas.
Who knows what that even is?
Yeah, can't have a lot of things in this country, but still.
You can't have any fun in this. Look, just tell us, what's it like owning a snake?
Yeah, it's good. Best kind of pet ever. Like, easy to maintain.
And do they bite?
A lot.
A lot.
So bites a lot.
And,
wow.
And they draw blood, do they?
Oh, sometimes.
What's the good bit here? What am I missing? Low maintenance, I kind of get. All right, let's go to Charles. There's another Charles here from the Shire.
He's got nothing. He's got nothing.
Hello,
nothing.
Charles.
No
one said a good bit yet.
They just bite you.
Charles, tell us about owning a snake.
Mate, not the best thing to do. I had a friend up in Lemon Tree Passage who had one, and he bought the little thing when his wife gave birth to their baby.
No.
And by about the age of 3 years old, this snake had basically stopped
eating had become a little bit nippy, and he took it into the vet, and the vet basically said, look, if the snake's anywhere near your daughter and it's not curled up, that's a pretty average position for a snake, but it was lying out straight. So basically the vet said that the snake was eyeing up his daughter to see if it would fit in its belly.
Oh my goodness.
Not really what you want for the family pet, is it? So, what did they do? Just gave the daughter away and kept the snake? Or?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah. On the first boat out of there. No, I got rid of the snake. Couldn't keep it anymore, mate. It was
That's extraordinary. Charles Firth, what do you make of this? Are you encouraged or discouraged?
I think I still will get a snake for Christmas. It sounds pretty good. And your baby's not that small. Well,
you don't want me to come over to your house anyway.
First, we brought you Rocktober.
Rock in October.
Next, we brought you Oztober.
Oz Rock, also in October.
Now, get ready for Triple M's most desperate October promotion ever as we bring you Coatober. An entire month of Koto, the traditional Japanese stringed instrument.
Blocks of non-stop Koto.
Playing all the Koto hits you love from the Taisho, Edo, and Meiji periods.
Arigato gozaimasu, Koto-ba.
If this gimmick doesn't keep you listening in October, turn to our digital station for Toto-ba. Toto's one-hit wonder, on the hour, every hour, repeated throughout the hour.
At least it's a break from AC/DC.
And next October, listen to Italian rice simmering as we bring you...
Are you ready?
Risottoba. Kotoba, Totoba, and Risottoba.
Rain had glued on. A lot more variety than we used to be.
Who said our promo department was feeling stretched?
Triple your risotto. Triple M.
104.9 Triple M. Radio Chaser.
Time now for Andrew Hansen to tell us about the trendiest things to put in our mouths.
Trendy, trendy, trendy foods and ingredients.
Yes, I'm going to test out our panel here of Charles and Dom, and let's see if you can tell me all the facts and get them right about trendy foods. Question one for you, Mr. Firth, Charles Firth. Red food colouring red food colouring E120 is made from what? Boiled bats, boiled beetles, or boiled beavers?
What?
Really?
It's one of those three. Oh, my God.
I reckon boiled beetles.
You are correct, yes. Cochineal beetles are boiled up and then crushed, and that goes in red food colouring, which is then used in all sorts of red things.
I'm never eating anything red ever again.
Almost everything red.
What about red wine? Is it in red wine? Please tell me there aren't beetles in red wine.
Well, it depends how big an evening you're having, Dummy, if you've sprinkled some boiled beetles in your wine. All right, it's all food additives in Trendy Foods today. Dom, question for you. Until recently, Orange Fanta contained what ingredient? A flame retardant used in furniture, shiny wax from a Brazilian tree, or the anal gland secretions of a beaver?
What the hell is this quiz? I'm going to go with flame retardant because I drank a lot of Fanta as a kid. I never once caught on fire.
That must explain why you're here safely today, Dommy, because you are correct.
Hey!
Yes, Orange Fanta and many other soft drinks did contain brominated vegetable oil, which stops you catching fire.
Can you throw it on a fire? Like if you got some old Fanta, can you just chuck it on a naked flame and it'll just be like, take it out?
Yeah. Next bushfire season, arm yourself with some slabs of Fanta.
From the 1990s.
The wax from a Brazilian tree is actually carnauba wax, and that's used in shoe polish and glazed donuts as a bonus fact. Now, Charles, that's true. The food additive castoreum is often found in ice cream, chewing gum, and raspberry-flavoured foods. Castoreum is made from what? The lips of a goat, the ear canals of a sheep, or the anal gland secretions of a beaver?
One of these is going to be the beaver. Is it this one?
It's going to be the beaver. It's the beaver, isn't it?
I hate to tell you, But that is correct.
Oh,
yes.
No.
So I
am never eating again.
Well, if you don't have any chewing gum handy, just grab hold of the nearest beaver and chow down on its butt.
104.9 Triple M Radio Chaser.
Cat's pajamas or cat's piss.
Now, Charles and Andrew, this has been the year, really, of the reusable bag. Our friend Craig Rucastle, with all of his whining about plastic, has got people using these reusable bags. Thing is, though, the normal sort of green bags you get from Coles and Woolies is not terribly fashionable.
I've got hundreds of them at home if you need any.
Yeah. Oh, it's terrible. I throw out each one as I use it.
Single-use green bags.
Yeah.
But look, if you think that they're not quite stylish enough, those green bags... here's a bag that you will not throw out after you use it. David Jones is selling a bag that looks exactly like the green bag you get at the supermarket. Mm. It's by Balenciaga. It goes for $2,335. It's exactly the same shape. It's in black leather. It says Balenciaga on it. What do you think? Cat's pajamas or cat's piss? Is that a good idea or a disastrous idea?
Well, I would still throw it out. After I've used it, yeah.
Well, look, I think I'm kind of cat's piss on this because the thing with those bags is they always have like bits of banana and you know sort of strawberry leaves at the bottom of them. And I think if your bag cost $8,000, you probably wouldn't want to be rinsing it out too often. I'm not a fan. I mean,
and you know, at the checkout, you always get confused and you leave behind one of the bags, and you just blow $5,000 leaving two bags behind.
Yeah, and they're never big enough, are they? Yeah. Like, you've always got sort of, you know, there's an extra bottle of milk that you can't fit. I mean, what, you need another Balenciaga bag?
If that's too expensive for you, there's another option. It's only $1,705. And it looks like a single-use plastic bag, the Balenciaga shopping bag. It's black and white striped. It's bigger. It looks more like the plastic. What do you think? I don't know.
What is it? $1,705.
And it looks like the same shape as one of those grey plastic bags.
They're just trolling us now. I mean, this is
good on you, though.
Being
the
1%.
All right. The next story here. You'll like this one, Charles. This one's from the city of Nanning in China, where the staff at an industrial and commercial bank of China got a surprise during a meeting when a giant snake crashed through the ceiling of the bank just after 8 o'clock. It was an adolescent Burmese python, one of the five largest snakes in the world. But the good news is it was just as scared of the humans and hid under some furniture.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, because Burmese pythons, I believe, eat people when they're scared. So that's...
right. Yeah, you wouldn't want that when you go to the bank, would you? I mean, it'd be, oh my goodness, Burmese python. You said it was an adolescent, did you?
Yeah, they get bigger.
Typical adolescent with their mood swings, crashing through the roofs of banks. And...
If I had piles of money, though, in the vault of a bank, I can barely imagine that. But if I wouldn't mind a snake sort of slithering around like a dragon in, The Hobbit guarding them.
You sure it wasn't the sequel to Snakes in a Plane? Like Snakes in a Bank? Snakes in a Vault.
That's probably not quite as good. I tell you what, if Samuel L. Jackson was in that, I'd go and see it.
Yeah. Sure.
Are you definitely going to get the snake? This is a big question, Charles.
I'm definitely going to get a snake.
All right, I'm moving.
What if it robs a bank? Come on, be responsible.
Let's do it. All right. Now, don't forget our new podcast, Cat's Pajamas with the Chaser. A longer version of this segment. It's available now, as is the regular Radio Chaser podcast. Go to triplem.com.au to find it. We'll catch you tomorrow. See ya.